On this November Monday each year, many of us can feel a palpable shift in focus. Some of those feelings are driven by commercial enterprise, because the shopping malls and online stores entice us with gift-giving ideas. But for the follower of Christ, it's the season we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues a study about Moses and the Israelites. As we trace their journey through the wilderness, we find obvious parallels between their struggle to maintain priorities and our own. Our study begins in Exodus chapter 31.
Moses had just been given 10 commandments in the moral code that God had written with his own finger. The Lord did not pick 5 of them or 4 of them or the first or the last. He picked one of them, not at random. But he said, Moses, before the sanctuary is to be built, observe the Sabbath. Take time to rest and reflect. Now, turn next to Exodus 35, okay? Remember what I just communicated. A clear directive, a call for specific gifts, a stated objective, and a requirement to rest and reflect. Those 4 things, that's all God gave Moses. Now Moses has come down from the mountain. He's standing before the people to deliver what God had given him. I want you to notice what Moses does with the grocery list. He takes the thing that God named forth, and he mentions it first. He says, you are to have complete rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. Look at this. You shall not kindle a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath. There would be no cooking. And then he says in verse 5, take a contribution from among you to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it to as the Lord's contribution. So he makes the first thing that God named second. But he took the fourth and he made it first. Observe the Sabbath, and having done that, then bring the contribution to the Lord. I take it he meant it in that order. The third thing he mentions is what God mentioned second, the specific items that were to be gifts. See them? They were to bring gold, silver, and bronze, exactly what the Lord had said. Every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded. Verse 11, you are to build the tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its hooks and its boards and its bars and its pillars. That's the first time in their lives they ever heard about a structure in which they were to worship. Now, verse 20, then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence. They're going home to rest and reflect. That's what they're doing. Because their hearts aren't yet stirred. It's in the time of reflecting and resting that they give serious and lengthy thought and prayer without interruption to the good hand of God upon them, a time in which He moved upon their family and upon their lives and protected them and opened the Red Sea and got them out of Egypt. They prayed, they discussed it as a family, and they allowed the quietness of that to minister to them. And I'm back to my opening statement. It is remarkable how generous we become when our hearts are truly stirred. But you know why they're so seldom stirred? Because we so seldom rest and reflect. Your heart isn't stirred in the fast lane. Your heart is stirred when you're sitting at a cafe on a roadside and you hear about Stevie's situation and you ponder what life must be like for Stevie and his mama. And all of a sudden, in the quietness of the stirring, you're prompted to forget about saving that $50 you were going to use for some other purpose, and whatever is in your pocket, you just pull out and put in a napkin and you give something to Stevie. You say, well, Chuck, that's great preaching, but how do you know? Well, I'm glad you ask. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. Everyone whose heart stirred him, everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution. This is after they had left. 22, all whose hearts moved them both men and women came and brought brooches and earrings. 26, all the women whose heart stirred with a skill spun the goat's hair. Isn't that great? It wasn't like, oh, I got to work with the goat's hair again. Man, I got goat's hair. Came all over the place. It was like, this is a great, great contribution I'm going to make to this great tabernacle. Verse 29, the Israelites, men and women whose hearts moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded, brought a free will offering to the Lord. There was not a tithe. Nobody talks about 10% or 15% here. This is a free will offering brought to the Lord. And verse 30 says Bezalel stepped up. And verse 34 says Oholiab steps up. And they add their contribution. And we got gold and silver and bronze coming in until finally, look at verse 2. I love chapter 36, verse 2. Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him, to come to the work to perform it. They received from Moses all the contribution. End of the verse. And they still continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Verse 5, they said to Moses, the people are bringing much more than enough. So Moses issued, verse 6, a command and a proclamation saying, let neither man nor woman any longer perform work. Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more. Verse 7, there was more than enough. Stop! Stop! No more porpoises. No more goat's hair. No more gold and silver and bronze. We can't do our work. We're walking all over trying to get our work done. We got stuff going all around us. Stop! So wouldn't that be great to hear that some Sunday? You just heard it. Well, maybe next Sunday. You're going to quit. Quit. You've given too much. You say, what are you so excited about? This. They are so stirred, they can't give enough. And you know what? Logic kind of flies out the window. And the facts and figures don't move them. Let me tell you something. We got a brochure here. That brochure won't raise squat. This brochure, you're not going to read it and say, oh, man, I'm giving $8,000. Look at the color of that brochure. Woo! I'm going to get $25,000 for this. That's what I mean. That brochure is worth it for me. That brochure is not going to turn anybody on. You know what's going to turn you on? Listen to me. When you're alone, Saturday, when you set aside time, free from the television, turning the phone off, not lighting a fire, not cooking a meal, when you and your God meet for a protracted period of time, like we're going to do as a flock, your heart will begin to be moved. Now, you know what? Perfect time of the year to say all this. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. That's why we love it. We don't love it because there's sweet potatoes and pumpkin pie. I mean, that's good, but that's not why you love it. Because before you pray, like we did at our table with Kurt and Deb and his three children, Ryan and Chelsea and little Landon, and here sits Carissa across the table, and here's Cynthia, and Deb says, I think before we pray, each one of us ought to say what we're grateful for. It's just a little statement. No sermons. She said that for my sake, but she no sermons. And so, you know, we got to Cynthia and she said, I'm just thankful that the Lord preserved my husband through this heart scare. Man. I said, I'm thankful for my family. And the kids thankful for. Kids are thankful. They got the greatest things to be thankful. You go, why did I think of that? That is a lot better than the one I chose, you know. And then you go around the table, and then Kurt leads in prayer. And oh man, it doesn't get any better than that. That's just as good as it gets. You know why? Because we reflected and we rested, and God stirred us. And there was at that moment nothing Cynthia nor I wouldn't have given had there been a need. You see, the wonderful thing about our plan is that we have a clear directive. Next Sunday, we raise a contribution. We have specific gifts for the Israelites. It was gold and silver and stones and gems and skins and oil and incense and all of that. With us, it's a playground or choir robes or hymnals or adult fellowship class or a parking lot we need but haven't built into the plan. You may want to designate for that. It's details that you can put your arms around and you can give. We have a stated objective. We're to build a church. And in a very brief period of time, we're going to inhabit that place and the Lord's presence will. But let's not jump the gun. Wait a minute. Let's not jump into this. We've got a rest and reflection time to observe. Chances are good you haven't had much of that. Maybe none. And I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm going to do this. Cynthia and I are going to do this. Make no mistakes about it. I'm challenging you to be as serious about this contribution as any you've ever made. Ask yourself questions next Saturday like, what is the maximum I can even imagine contributing? What could I give up or postpone for the next 3 years so as to make this gift a reality? Listen to these questions. How could I make this contribution far more than any I have ever given before? You know what'll help? Get your checkbook for the last 11 months. You're all alone. You maybe and your mate or your kids, look through the checkbook. Look through the contributions. Would that equal 10%? You say, well, I don't believe in a tithe. Well, 20. Would that equal 20% of what you make? I know a couple very well that's giving 30%. And they've decided to do that several years ago. And you know what? They've never missed a meal. And they're not rich. My own sister never tithed and said to me one day, you know, babe, I'm struggling with the whole idea of my giving and it's not what it ought to be. And I said, why don't you start with 10%? She said, oh, I'm not married. I don't have anybody to fall back on. I said, tell you what, if you come up short, call me. Just start with 10%. So she started with 10%. Before the end of the year, she called me. She said, this has been the best year of my life. This is terrific. I thought she was calling to say, I need a loan, but she didn't. And so the next year she decided to go 15. And then the next year I think she decided to go to 20. Then she just got introduced to a whole new way to live, and it's absolutely wonderful. If someone who didn't know you had access to your checkbook, would that person say after looking through it that you model generosity? It's just a question. Have you ever given to any level of frightening faith? Any time? The kind you'd give to Stevie there in that roadside cafe. I go another one. This occurred to me while I was in the air. If your CPA or your mother were to see the level to which the Lord had stirred your heart to give next week or the rest of this year, would he or she be shocked? You're going to give that? Cynthia and I are involved in raising money for Insight for Living, and it's an expensive project. We want to reach 100% of the world through our radio ministry, and so we're in the process of raising that money. It's very exciting, so thrilling to do this. So we were going to call on a couple who are friends of the ministry, and I was going to ask them to give $500,000. They were able to do that. They'd given for a long time to the ministry. So I remember practicing in front of the mirror, $500,000, $500,000. So I practiced that. I got it all ready. So we went to dinner that night. We're sitting there with these friends that we've loved for years. And he's finishing his meal and I'm finishing mine, practicing. So I said, and so I called his name. In light of our need and in light of your ability, I'm challenging you to give $500,000,000 this year. That guy didn't know whether to spit or wind his watch, man. He goes, billion. You know, I was embarrassed, and I really blew my one line, you know. And his wife said, I really wish we could. Isn't that a great response? Rather than, oh, what do you think we are, rich? She says, I really wish we could. And you know what? Suddenly $500 million didn't seem ridiculous to me at all. You know, my desire is that you really think outside the lines. This isn't for my benefit. This isn't for the benefit of people sitting around here. This is for the living God. It's for Him. It's for Him. And I'm not asking you to do a thing that Cynthia and I are not going to do with you. I could never do that. I'm asking you to join us in this kind of commitment. But you won't do it today, nor should you. You need a day to rest and reflect. You need a day to be quiet. Don't fix meals. Don't fix a lot of meals. Don't turn a fire on. Don't even fix a fireplace. Plan the better part of your Saturday before next Sunday to be alone, to reflect, and to do some of these projects. You can think of another or several others on your own. It's between you and Him. God will be honored. He'll be glorified. And you'll have a joy you've not had probably your entire Christian life. Happiest people in that cafe that day were not Stevie and his mother. They weren't the ones crying. They were the truckers. You know, I'm occasionally criticized for one particular part of my ministry that bugs some people. And it's that I don't give invitations. Okay? Some disgruntled Baptists don't like that, and so they're wishing that I would give invitations. I'm just kidding. But you know, today I'm going to give an invitation. I'm going to break my mold today. Actually, I give an invitation every Sunday. I just don't ask you to walk down and do it in front of everybody, because everybody can't change your life. They just look with curiosity. And I believe this is the kind of thing we can do all at once together. I'm not talking to myself today, and I'm not talking into thin air. I'm talking to you, who are the sheep of God's pasture. I've got nothing in this for myself. I'm a delivery boy, and I've just thrown the paper. My invitation for you today is that you commit yourself in a few moments by standing to your feet, to setting aside some time next Saturday to rest and reflect. If you cannot do this or do not wish to do this, you stay seated. It's a matter of integrity. I'm not asking you to commit to any amount of money. How do I know how to do that? I don't know what the Lord is saying. I'd probably guess too low anyway. I'm saying, if you have been challenged in a more than normal manner to set aside time to rest and reflect deliberately for an extended period of time before we meet again, and you are committed to spending that time before the Lord seeking His mind for what you should do regarding the future of this ministry, I want you to stand to your feet right now, if that's where you are. I'd like all of us to close our eyes and to bow our heads. Stand to your feet, if that's where you are. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. Lord God, you know our hearts. You know our history. You know the truth. You're at work in our midst. And we who stand today have made a commitment to you that a portion of this coming week, on the eve of our meeting again, will be set apart for you. We commit ourselves to that. I pray for the fathers of families and ask you to give them the courage of leadership and the strength of faith. to think beyond the bounds of history and what has always been, and to think into terms of what might be. I pray for single parents, for those up against it financially, economically. I pray for those who admittedly struggle to make ends meet, who are standing. I pray that you would direct them and bless them and give them courage beyond what they've ever known before. I ask you, Lord, to use this message in a remarkable way to give this church a fresh testimony before you of the level of our commitment and our deep desire to honor and glorify you with our possessions. I pray, Father, for your name to be lifted up. This is not about bragging rights among churches. This is not about what we share with friends. This is an intimate and extremely private personal relationship we have with you. Just as we do not know what individual Hebrews gave to your work, we will not know who gives among this flock. But meet the needs in this next month, our Father, as we find ourselves wholly, completely dependent upon you. Now we bless your name and we magnify the God of Israel. And we lift our hearts in praise and adoration and gratitude for your good gifts to us. Among them, the gift of life, deliverance from sin, protection in a hostile and angry world. And we pray that we shall become increasingly more aware of these blessings as we reflect upon them as this week unfolds. Read our hearts and know our minds and search our motives, our Father, as we stand in commitment to this challenge. And all God's people said, Amen.
With a spirit of thanksgiving, Chuck Swindoll concludes today's message called Generosity, Willing Hearts Stirred Within. And this is Insight for Living. To hear any portion of this study again, you can find downloadable audio files or purchase CDs when you go to insightworld.org. As someone who often listens to Chuck teach from the Bible, I'm sure you can tell today's message was originally delivered to the flock that he shepherds as senior pastor. In that spirit, we believe these principles apply to your local church as well. And we urge you to invest first in the church you attend each weekend. And then as God leads you to do so, we readily invite your generous investment and Insight for Living as well. We'll look back on 2018 as one of the most challenging in our history. But God has proven himself faithful once again through God's people. Chuck?
Yes, back in April, May, and June of this year, Insight for Living Ministries encountered one of our most challenging financial passages in our 39-year history. Gratefully, we presented the need to our loyal, listening family, and thousands of our friends rallied to keep the shortfall from impacting the ministry's future. To those who gave generously, we remain deeply grateful for your cheerful and your immediate response. Thank you sincerely. And now, as we approach the end of 2018 and step into our 40th year, I'm asking you to seek God's direction. I'm asking Him to guide your special year-end donation. Together with every listener doing his and her part, we can reach the enormous goal by December 31. Maybe you're curious to learn how Insight for Living Ministries spends your donation. Well, it works like this. A large portion of your gift is channeled directly into providing this daily program on your station, so that you continue to hear the program you've grown to depend on. And then a major portion of your gift is applied to providing other helpful resources, like the online study tools, the free daily podcast, the Searching the Scriptures study notes, and more than that. And a fraction of your gift allows us to translate Insight for Living into a variety of major heart languages located around the world. All to say, when you give a donation, Insight for Living Ministries is really not the recipient. Listen carefully. What you're doing is you're giving your gift to us in order to give it through us. We serve as the conduit through which your gift flows, in order to reach people with the truth of God's Word. So, thanks sincerely for sending your special end-of-the-year donation before December 31st. I promise to remain faithful to teaching from God's Word, just as I have since 1979 to this present day. In turn, please do your part so that others will embrace the Bible as their sole source of insight for living.
And here's how you can respond to Chuck Swindoll right now. Perhaps the quickest and most efficient way to give is by going to insight.org/donate. As another option, you might want to simply send a text. Just text the word INSIGHT to this easy-to-remember number, 555-888. Again, type the word INSIGHT into your text box to this number, 555-888. I like the way Chuck said it a moment ago. When you give to Insight for Living Ministries, you're actually giving through us. Chuck's voice may be the one you hear teach the Bible, but it's your contribution that allows us to touch lives. You can give us a call right now and speak to one of our friendly ministry representatives. If you're listening in the United States, the number to call is 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or give a donation online by going to insight.org/donate. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to join us again Tuesday when Chuck Swindoll talks about investing in things eternal, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Generosity, Willing Hearts Stirred Within, was copyrighted in 2000, 2002, and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.